welcome once again to naturaldocradio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed clinical nutritionist, with information that is designed to support your good health, support your decision-making situation so that you achieve a health benefit with all of the different foods that you choose to have on a regular basis. I've been talking about health-supporting foods and gone through a whole list A to Z, and these are a few of the food choices that kind of fell between the cracks, and so we're going to patch up those cracks today. I'm talking about a number of different choices, very, very easily found in the grocery store and very easily prepared. Down the road, I will plan on putting up some recipes so you'll know very, very efficient ways to keep these foods in your refrigerator, in your cupboard, and very, very easy ways to prepare them and have them readily available. Okay, today, acorn squash. And it's very interesting because people might look at the acorn squash and it's kind of hard and they think, oh, how am I going to cook it? What will happen? How long do I have to cook it? How am I going to open it up? It's such a hard vegetable. Well, the truth of the matter is you just cut the acorn squash in half, put it on a baking sheet in your oven at 350 degrees, and you can sprinkle a little cinnamon on it. You can put a little bit of vanilla extract on it. You can put a little bit of butter, and of course I would recommend organic or imported butter on your baking acorn squash. And what are the benefits of going through this preparation routine? Well, you'll have lycopene, one of the carotenoids that are so very effective at providing antioxidant protection. Very, very important for specifically supporting prostate function and protecting prostate tissue from damage. So here's a delicious way to add lycopene to your diet. It has folate, and folate is a very important part of the B complex. The folate works in combination with B12, and when you have folate, you have a potential to enhance your longevity. There's a lot of research associated with those individuals with higher levels of folate, they have greater longevity. But folate also is working as an anti-cancer substance within your body, and it's part of that whole picture associated with a relationship with B12 that is your energy support approach. Vitamin A and vitamin C. Again, here's antioxidant protection. Vitamin A, very important for your lungs, very important for your immune system. Vitamin C, once again, supportive of your immune system and protecting your healthy cells from free radical damage. Acorn squash is typically a winter squash, and when you have that winter squash, a regular routine in your diet, you're supporting fiber requirements. Fiber, critically important. Once you protect those cells, the cells of your body, from free radical damage, what you have would be cellular debris. And fiber is very, very important at removing that cellular debris from your body. Acorn squash is very, very high in potassium. If you've ever tried to take a potassium supplement, you might see that the highest dose of potassium in a supplement would be 99 milligrams, that you don't get in one capsule anything higher than 99 milligrams. Well, a serving of acorn squash so high in potassium, you're going to find 900 milligrams in a cup of acorn squash. So potassium, really important for regulating blood pressure, really important for heart health. It's interesting because we think so much of the chemistry in our bodies, the importance of potassium and other minerals, the importance of antioxidant nutrients and so on. What we might not necessarily think of is the electrical component in our bodies. And when you have potassium in sufficient amounts circulating in your body, all of the electrical components in your body are going to be very much supported. So every beat of your heart, that is an electrical situation combined with chemistry. And so that chemistry and electricity makes your heart contract and release, contract and release. So every beat of your heart is very much dependent on potassium. Very, very abundant in acorn squash and an absolutely delicious addition to your dinner plate. Almonds. Well, I'm of kind of two minds about almonds, but let me tell you about the benefits, and then I'll tell you why I have a little bit of hesitancy about recommending them too much. Okay, almonds. If you look at the covering of an almond, the almond has brown, and then there's little striations in that brown almond skin, so to speak. And that skin actually has a very significant similarity to apricot pits. So the center inside the apricot stone is a little seed that is round but looks very similar to how an almond looks. And what does that apricot seed have? It has laetrile. What's laetrile? Laetrile is a substance that has been shown through a great deal of research and having been used through many, many years, shown to have anti-cancer benefits. So the almonds, from that perspective, they have much less laetrile than an apricot pit, but they do have some content of laetrile. They also have potassium. They have really, really very beneficial profile of correct health-supporting fats. And they're excellent, excellent, excellent for a snack. You don't want to eat too many. They have shown that there's a benefit to vitamin E content in almonds. They also have some magnesium, some zinc. So there's a very, very nice profile of nutrients that are afforded as a support to your diet from almonds. They're going to support your immune system. They're going to support, with that proper profile of fats, a very specific heart health benefit. And we know that there are antioxidant substances, flavonoids, that are found in almonds, and those flavonoids very, very supportive of antioxidant activity. Okay, so that's the whole view, maybe not the whole view, but a very comprehensive view of the health benefits associated with almonds. It takes, I have heard, it takes a great deal of water, because I'm not certain of the number of gallons of water to produce almonds. I'm not going to mention a specific amount, but that almond groves in California are very important users of the water resources in California. And we have gone from eating whole raw almonds into using almond butter, almond milk, almond cheeses. So here's this fabulous crop, almonds, being used in a wide range of prepared foods that are readily available and to a certain extent do provide for us some of the benefits of the original nut. I have to say that if I were recommending dietary changes to people that come to see me for nutrition counseling, I'd tell them to have between a quarter and a third of a cup of whole raw almonds. I'd tell them probably to mix those almonds with some other nuts and seeds, possibly pumpkin seeds, possibly a little bit of sunflower seeds. And I might also suggest using almond milk sparingly over cereal if that happened to be one of the breakfast choices. I would not suggest using it exclusively, but I would be in a discussion with the people I'm counseling about the advisability of using non-dairy types of milk. And keep in mind, there are many other types of milk besides the almond milk readily available. You'd want organic almond milk, organic rice milk is available, organic hemp milk is available. So there are a number of different choices that are options so that you're not using the almond milk exclusively. A little bit of organic almond butter, again, a very specific health-supporting choice as an option, not to have peanut butter, not to have cashew butter, but once again, there's sunflower seed butter, there is cashew butter, there is organic peanut butter. So there are a lot of different options, but almond butter is a very health-supporting choice. You don't need to choose that exclusively. Next on my list, asparagus. It's very, very much a health-supporting vegetable choice. You're going to get vitamin A, you're going to get vitamin C, you're going to get folic acid. And the great thing, 25 calories in 8 asparagus spears, full of fiber, having a very, very filling effect. So if you're looking for something that is an alternative to broccoli and cauliflower, which you should not be choosing on a daily basis, asparagus fills the bill. Very low in calories, high in different vitamins and minerals, and very, very low in calories. So asparagus is an absolutely wonderful choice. Barley. I talked about whole grains in previous recordings, and one of the grains that we skipped was barley. And very important, very health supporting, because it's got fiber, it's got the B complex vitamins that you're typically going to have if you are using whole grains. It's a good source of iron, and it's a good source of the whole profile of different minerals. Now, what are the cautions? What do you have to look out for? You don't want to choose pearl barley. Pearl barley is barley that has been processed. It's kind of like the difference between wild rice and white rice. The outer husk has been removed, so you want whole grain barley. The whole grains, including barley, are very, very supportive of how your immune system works and have been associated in certain research at helping to protect you against certain types of cancer, helping to protect you against heart disease, and also because it is the whole grain with all of that fiber, it is helpful in controlling diabetes. So you can use barley. I'll talk about quinoa later on in this discussion. Millet is another whole grain, but a heart-healthy choice, much, I don't want to say better. It is a very reasonable replacement for rice or pasta on your dinner plate. You don't want to prepare it in a way that there is too much fat added to it, but just a little bit of whole grain barley, and you cook it essentially the same way you would cook rice, about 1 cup of barley, and I'm going to say a scant cup of barley, and 2 cups, 2 1/4 cups of water, depending on how you would like your barley cooked. More water added to cooking barley, and the softer the grain is going to be. But a very, very health-supporting choice. So you can have a variety. As I mentioned, there would be millet, there would be quinoa, there would be buckwheat. Buckwheat, not actually a grain, but very much used in the same manner as we choose to have grains in our diet. So the whole grain is what you're looking for. Interesting, I'm going to talk about beef. Do you know how frequently people come in and sit down and talk with me about their diet and their nutrition status, and they say, well, I'm just not eating red meat? And we'll have a little bit of a discussion, and I'll say it's quality that is the issue. You want to have very high quality. Any animal source protein that you're choosing, my suggestion is you want it to be organic. In poultry, we're talking about free-range poultry. If we're talking about beef, we want grass-grazed, organically raised, with no hormones, no antibiotic contamination. And so that brings me to this next choice, which is beef, and particularly the eye of round beef. And here's the recommendation. Always organic. And the reason for this particular cut of beef is it is the leanest cut. Now, when you're choosing grass-grazed beef, again, the fat content is not the same as commercially raised beef. So the lean cut from beef eye of round would be very lean. 3-ounce serving has almost half your daily requirement for protein and is just 160 calories. So a 3-ounce serving, about the size of your hand, very, very low fat, and a very good source of zinc as well as vitamin B6. Now, we know that zinc is crucially important for our immune systems, and here's an absolutely delicious way to get it. And you can do the eye round as a roast in the oven. You can do it sautéed in cubes and make it into a slow-cooked stew with vegetables and beef broth. So there are a number of different ways to add this to your routine, and you don't have to have this every week. If you have a 3-ounce serving once a week or once every 2 weeks, you are giving your body some of the substances that are available in many different food choices, but for some reason, the red meat may have a particular effect on the bodies of those people with O blood type, and it is particularly those with O blood that I recommend that they have once a week a very, very lean piece of red meat, grass-grazed, no hormones, no antibiotics, organically raised. So the grass that these steer are grazing on are very, very much untreated by any kind of growth enhancer, any kind of pesticide, fungicide, untreated grass. So there is no contamination with the pesticides and the really negative substances that can really interfere with how your body is able to digest and absorb nutrients and really interfere with how your immune system is meant to work. And Brussels sprouts. Sometimes that when I mention Brussels sprouts to people, sometimes they love them. A lot of times they hate them. There are so many different delicious ways of preparing Brussels sprouts. My suggestion is don't make up your mind that you hate them until after you have had them very, very nicely prepared. What are the benefits associated with Brussels sprouts? You are getting vitamin K. Vitamin K is a pretty controversial subject right now. I talk about the importance of vitamin K for driving calcium into your long bones. Even more importantly, more important than keeping your bones strong, it has the capacity to break down calcifications on soft tissue. That soft tissue that is in between every one of your joints. So if you're looking at your fingers and maybe your finger joints might be a little swollen, might be a little sore, maybe they're not as flexible as they used to be, it's a pretty accurate guess that there are calcium deposits in the ligaments, tendons, and cartilage that surround that movable joint. So that calcification is abnormal. That calcification can be broken down when you're taking in vitamin K. All right, so here's the rest of the story. Those people who are using anticoagulant medications because they've been diagnosed with some sort of heart issue, very specific anticoagulation protocols would be used in those people who have atrial fibrillation. And so their doctors are going to say, you cannot eat these vegetables. You can't eat Brussels sprouts. You can't eat spinach and broccoli, green leafy vegetables. You have to be very, very cautious with those substances, because those vegetable choices, because of the presence of vitamin K. And here's the balance. If you don't have vitamin K in your diet to a certain extent, the anticoagulants actually are pulling calcium out of your bones and into your bloodstream. And ultimately, that calcium will deposit in soft tissue. So what you want is a little bit of balance. You want to have a discussion with your doctor who has prescribed anticoagulant medication and possibly agree to have one of these vitamin K containing vegetables on a regular basis, maybe two, possibly three times a week. Many of the anticoagulant medication is monitored in your blood by your doctor, and when your doctor has found that you're achieving the right viscosity to your blood and you discuss using a vitamin K containing vegetable two, possibly three times a week, very nice balance is achieved. Keep in mind some of the important aspects of this. Also rely on water. So if you're using Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, kale, cabbage, any of those vitamin K containing vegetables, you want to make sure that you are also properly hydrating. So you're getting delicious, beneficial addition to your diet when you decide to add Brussels sprouts to your daily routine. So very, very health supporting. These are some choices that maybe you have not necessarily been making in your diet, and hopefully I've given you a few reasons about using them on a regular basis and keeping that ever important balance, homeostasis. That's the support word that we're talking about today in order to enhance your health. Balance. You've been tuned to naturaldocradio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be back again soon. Thanks for tuning in.